Book of Luke, chapter 10. Eric, if you can help me. Anthony, your wife will let you out. She might want to keep you there. Luke, chapter 10 this morning. Just going to look at a few verses and really a very short passage. And yet, I guess, one of the most well-known and memorable passages in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 10, and beginning in verse number 38 through the end of this chapter, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 38, the story of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And again, always amazed at in what few verses in the Bible, so much information can be given. And not just information, but practical application and lessons. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, being Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister, verse 40, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This morning in the encounters of Christ, we're going to look at the contrast between Martha and Mary. The contrast between Martha and Mary. This account only appears one time here in the Gospel of Luke. It's not in Matthew, Mark, or John. It's just in these few verses right here. And yet it's a very well-known story. Everybody knows about Jesus coming to Martha and Martha asking the Lord to ask his sister to come and help her with her menial tasks. These two sisters are a contrast. They're both believers, but they're certainly different. Different in personality. One of them is quiet and shy and contemplative, like me. And one of them is active and impulsive and busy. And isn't it a blessing? They're both disciples of the Lord. Isn't it a blessing that God uses different personalities? It'd be a very dull world if we were all the same. The excitement is and how different everybody is. I was reading a book by a preacher last night, and he said some folks are just, we just call them ERG. And that means EGR, extra grace required. And I thought, yeah, there's some folks like that, extra grace required in dealing with them. We've all got different personalities, we've all got different types, and Mary and Martha were no different, but they both love the Lord. And so that's a blessing of Christian fellowship, is that we don't all have to be rubber stamped and identical and the same. God uses people in different personalities. So there's a contrast in their personalities, but then there's also a contrast in their decisions. And that's where it kind of gets sticky here. Mary makes that decision which is good, the Lord's going to tell her, and Martha doesn't make that decision which is good. So even two women, let's assume they're raised in the same home, them and their brother Lazarus, all three raised by the same parents, and yet they come out differently. One chooses to sit at Jesus' feet, the other chooses to be active and busy and get the priorities kind of backward, and yet both raised in the same home. And isn't that the way life is and the way things are? People make their own decisions. So we're going to contrast this morning these two ladies, Mary and Martha, looking in these verses in Luke chapter 10. Notice, if you would, letter A, the circumstances. All right, the circumstances. The circumstances of the lives of Mary and Martha give us a good background for this unique story. Verse 38 tells us about Martha. Verse 39 tells us about Mary. And so we're going to get a picture, a snapshot of each one of them and see what happens. And both of these things are going to be commendable as we start. Both Martha and Mary, what they do is commendable. In contrasting Martha and Mary with the circumstances, we see, number one, the home. The home. It says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Her home was open to Christ. We know by other verses in the Gospels, over in John chapter 11, that this home was located in the village of Bethany. And Martha had no concerns about inviting Christ into her home. That's a very welcome sign that he was welcome to be invited into there. Now, again, we know that Martha had a sister Mary and a brother named Lazarus. The fact that the Bible says received her into her house would seem to indicate to us that she's the eldest. All right, because it's said of her that she invited him into the home. So she's kind of the, the head of this home. Maybe that explains her personality. She's more of the outgoing, more of the active, more of the busy, more of the working. She's got a younger brother and sister that she's helped raise or whatever in the family. And so that's kind of speaks of the eldest or the firstborn in the family. And so we see Martha had no qualms when Jesus came through of inviting him to come into her house. That's an outstanding characteristic that Martha has. It's a good characteristic for you and I to emulate, that Jesus would be invited and welcome in our home. We joke a lot of times, the preacher knocks on the door, you got to go in and hide a bunch of stuff before you open the door. Now, hopefully that's not true, but in some places that would be. So Jesus, for him to be welcome, other things have to not be welcome. You can't just mix the two. If you've been watching Christmas specials, we watched a Christmas movie on VCR the other night. When it got done, it clicked off and the TV came on, and it was a Christmas special on one of the big channels, ABC. That's not the one I wanted to talk about. It was a country music Christmas, something like that. And all these folks that during the year are singing godless songs. And by godless, I don't mean anti-God. I mean just void of God. They're singing godless songs all year long. And now at Christmas time, they get up there and the same people get up there and sing about Jesus in a manger or a silent night or something. And everybody stands back and says, oh, aren't they so wonderful? Aren't they so good? Trying to mix the world and spiritual things together, and the Lord just doesn't approve of that too much. And so we've got to make sure that our home is a place where Jesus would be welcome, where he could come in. And that's the kind of home that Martha had. The circumstances of the home. Number two, the hospitality. The Bible says she received him into her house. She received him. Now that requires some sacrifice. When you take somebody in, you're responsible for them. When you show hospitality, you don't invite, hey, why don't you come over for dinner? By the way, you bring the food. Now, sometimes we contribute and stuff like that, but you don't say, hey, come over to our house and you bring this and this and this and that. We're not going to bring it. I got invited to one of those one time. Haven't gone back a second time, but that was been a long time ago. But that's not hospitality. When you show hospitality, you go out for the other person. And Martha was willing to do that to invite Jesus to come into her house. It also was a safety risk. Jesus was not well received at this time. The religious leaders and the Pharisees and all that were not crazy about him. And Martha, by inviting Jesus into her house, took sides against the religious leaders and against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and sided with Christ. And I think in our day a lot of folks need to take sides a little more. Again, too many are trying to play both sides against the middle and enough of Christ and enough of the world to get by. And Martha invited Christ to come into her house, and she reaped the benefit of that. She got to have him, his presence in her home, his teaching in her household, his counsel coming from his very mouth, right there welcome at home. That's the way our homes ought to be. I mean, it's great. We come to church, we get in the house of God, so to speak, and we come and we hear the Word of God proclaimed, but our house ought to be almost just as much that as anything else is. It ought to be a refuge also, a refuge from the rest of the world, a refuge from the sin and the wickedness and the ungodliness and all that kind of stuff. It ought to be a refuge from that. And Martha's home apparently was that. She had a good, well-maintained home, a home of hospitality. Jesus was welcomed there. So that tells us about Martha. Letter B, we see the communing. The circumstances are letter A, that's about Martha. Letter B, the communing, and it tells us about Mary, verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Again, verse 39 tells us a little about Mary, and it tells us a lot about Mary. In just a few words, we learn a whole lot of things. Verse 38 was about Martha. It was all commendable. It was good. Now we see her sister Mary in verse 39. Notice number one, the person. The person. We're talking about Mary. Of the three, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Mary evidently and apparently is the most devoted of the three. She's the one that when Jesus comes wants to sit down at his feet and listen to his word. Again, that doesn't mean that Martha is bad. It doesn't mean that Lazarus is bad. But of the three of them, one has that spiritual compass that the others are still working on. She's got the spiritual hunger and devotion and warmth that the other two apparently, not, again, they're not bad people, but they just don't have that thing that Martha's got. or that Mary's got. You and I need to have that. We need to have that Mary attitude, that devoted to Christ, that desire to hear Him. When Jesus walks into this house, Mary drops what she's doing and sits down at His feet and just waits to hear from Him. Martha continues about her business, nothing wrong with that, doing what she needs to do, fulfilling her responsibility, but Mary's just got that little extra spark of wanting to hear what the Lord has to say. Martha and Lazarus are not bad people. They're good. They're disciples of the Lord. They love the Lord. But Mary's just got that little extra bit. Aren't you excited when you see somebody that's got that as a pastor? I'm excited when I see somebody got that little extra bit. They just want to get the word. They want to soak it up. They want to absorb it. And that's the way Mary was. The person, number two, the position. Notice where she sat. The position. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. She sat at Jesus' feet. That means she wanted to be a disciple of the Lord. She sat at His feet. That's exactly. She wanted to learn everything she could about Him. The Bible tells us over in the book of Acts that Paul, the great missionary, Saul before his conversion became Paul, that he was a disciple of Gamaliel. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. So that which you sit before, you are a disciple of. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She wanted to take all the information, all the facts, all the knowledge she could get from Him. She wanted to absorb that. She sat at His feet. The problem today is we have too many TV disciples. We have too many that are sitting at the feet of the television and thereby getting all their information and their views and their knowledge and their opinions. And folks, nothing will kill your spiritual level or your spiritual warmth more than watching television will. Because you don't control what's going to come. You know, the internet, and I'm not all for spending a lot of time on that, but at least you kind of control where you're going and what you're going to look at. But when you turn the TV on, I mean, whatever is on is on. And you say, well, I surf the channels. Yeah, but you still find nothing but junk. Again, with all the specials going on, the other night something came on and it was on ABC, a major channel. So I thought, well, and it was a Christmas thing. And it was tracing the root of Abraham through three religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All three go back through Abraham. And so I thought, well, I'm going to watch this. I watched as long as I possibly could. And all of the nonsense and the silliness and the inaccuracies just got to me to the point where I said, forget this. But you know what I know? One of these days, if I go visit somebody, not necessarily church folks, but I go visit somebody, they're going to tell me something they know about Islam or Christianity or Judaism, something they learned about Abraham. And you know, when they tell me about it, I'm going to say, wait a minute, that's silly. That's ridiculous. Where did you get that? I saw it on television. You know what they are? They're TV disciples. And everything they know about God comes from television, whether it's that channel or the TV evangelists and all the other nonsense that goes on. Where we place ourselves is we indicate whose disciple we are. And Mary put herself at the feet of Jesus. She was His disciple. That was her position. Then number three, the promptness. Mary's promptness in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She took advantage of spiritual opportunity. It's not always you have Jesus in your house. It's not always He's in the town of Bethany. It's not always that you can stop what you're doing and sit down and listen to Him. She took advantage of her spiritual opportunity. She left serving to listen to Christ. Now, there's a contrast again. We ought to be busy. We ought to be working. We ought to be laboring. The Bible tells us we need to be so. There's no biblical excuse for laziness. But at the same time, it's all about priority. Martha is there washing the pots and pans and setting the table and cleaning the table and all that kind of stuff while Jesus is in the house. And Mary's devotion motivates her to just say, you know, that stuff can wait. That stuff, it's necessary. We've got to do it. But Jesus isn't always in the house. And her priority stopped her from doing the mundane to concentrating on the spiritual. The Bible said that her promptness was that she left everything. In fact, Martha's going to say, she hath left me. She's left me. She was working with me, and the minute you came in the house, she left me and went down and sat. Can you believe it? She just went down and sat and listened to the Word. Her promptness, her desire, her spiritual hunger to hear the Word of God. Again, we have work. We have responsibilities. We have to fill it. But we need to make sure our priorities, when we have a choice we can make between spiritual and manual, that we choose the spiritual, that we want to learn from the Lord. And so we find the contrast of Martha and Mary in verse 38 and verse 39. Verse number 40 then. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? All right, now we're going to see Martha's personality even more full blown. We find now, let her see the complaining. The complaining. Verse number 40, the first two words are a bad start. But Martha. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, how wonderful verse 39 is. But verse 40 says, but Martha. It's kind of like, well, the family's in church, but that one couldn't make it, or this one couldn't make it, but. That's what verse 40 says. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, the complaining. It's not a personality issue. It doesn't matter if you're the quiet, contemplative, or the active, busy, outgoing. That's not the issue between Martha and Mary. The issue here is the decision they make to put spiritual priorities into place. Mary is the one that decided she wanted to sit at the Lord's feet. So we find the complaining. Of course, Martha is the one that's going to do the complaining. It's not going to be Mary, the one that sits at Jesus' feet. It's going to be the Martha, the one that's too busy to sit at Jesus' feet, and then accuse Mary of not having her priorities right. We'll learn a lot from that. Notice number one, the complaining, it dishonored God. And it seems like every week there's one part of our outline that just has a big, heavier emphasis than the others. And I guess this week, if you get nothing else but the next four things, understand what our murmuring and complaining does. Number one, it dishonors God. Martha says in verse number 40, Lord, dost thou not care? Now again, Martha is not a terrible, ungodly, wicked sinner. She's not an evil person. But she has just dishonored the Lord by saying to him, don't you care? You know, those that do the most questioning about who cares usually are the ones that really care the least. They're the ones, as we're going to see with Mary, that are more self-centered, more worried about themselves. And so they find fault with everything out there. Those folks usually don't find fault with themselves. They find fault with that which is out there. And that's the way Martha is. Martha's saying, hey, I'm working, I'm busy. You know, I'm fine. I'm working, I'm busy, I'm doing so well. But look at my sister sitting at your feet. Don't you care? I mean, she's pointing the finger at the Lord. She's pointing the finger at Mary. She's the only one that's right in this whole thing as far as she's concerned. That's what a complaining attitude does. It dishonors God. Then look at number two. It disrupted the family. It disrupted the family. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? My sister has left me to serve alone. Dost thou not care? Again, she pointed the finger at the Lord. Now she's pointing the finger at her sister. This complaining is just breaking up the whole family group. It's bringing disharmony into the whole place of unity here. And that's what complaining does. If you know somebody that you know complains all the time, you know what you want to do? Not be around them. That's just a natural tendency. We don't want to be around the whiners and the murmurers and the complainers. It soaks our energy up. It's kind of like the Lord we heard last week with the Pharisees and the Sadducees always questioning him, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. That's the way complainers do, and it disrupted the family. My sister had left me to serve alone. First, she criticized Christ, saying that he didn't care. Then she criticized her sister, saying, she hath left me to serve alone. It disrupted the family. Number three, it discredited devotion. It discredited devotion. You know what she said? The end of verse 40, Martha said, "Bid her therefore that she help me." You know what she just said? It is more important for her to get up and help me than it is for her to sit there and listen to you. Now again, folks, you understand, when we paint this picture, we're not painting Martha as an old biddy. We're not painting her as a mean-tongued woman. This is a good disciple of the Lord. She just has a problem. She's got a problem here with her complaining spirit and thinking that what she's doing is more important than what Mary's doing, when the Lord's going to see what Mary's doing is more excellent than what Martha's doing. But she's discrediting Mary's devotion, thinking that if Mary got up on her feet and helped her and left the Lord in there by himself, she would be doing better than what she's doing by sitting there at the Lord's feet. So she discredited devotion. She didn't want Mary to be so holy. Don't be such a fanatic. Don't put such an emphasis on sitting at Jesus' feet. Kind of like the world looks at you and I sometimes. You mean you tithe of your income? You give 10% of everything you give back to God? What are you, nuts? What do you mean? You go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night? And Wednesday night too? What kind of cult are you in? What kind of fanatic are you? What do you mean you have revival meetings and tent meetings and vacation Bible school? I mean, don't you have a life outside of church? The world looks at that and they criticize. And they discredit your devotion to God, because they don't understand it. They're no different than Martha. Martha, again, is not a bad person. She just, her priorities are wrong. Her values are not straightened out. And she discredited Mary's devotion. She criticized her own relatives, her sister. Going after her own sister and saying to the Lord, "Lord, you don't care and my sister doesn't care. You guys must be in this together and you left me out here to serve alone." She discredited devotion. Then number four, her complaining dignified self. And here's the root of the whole thing. It dignified self. Twice in verse number 40, you find Martha saying, "Me." She said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." That's where Martha's focus was. Martha wasn't serving to serve God. Martha was serving because it pleased herself. It was all about me. And so Martha's complaining against Mary and against the Lord simply dignified herself as her way to elevate herself, to put the priority on what she was doing. What I am doing is more important than what my sister is doing. What I'm doing is more valuable. She hath left me to serve alone. Bid her that she help me. That was Martha's focus. Her interest is pure self. Not only that, Mary's sitting there at the feet of Jesus and Jesus is teaching her, and Martha comes in and interrupts the whole thing. In the middle of Jesus' discourse to Mary and teaching her and feeding her the Word of God, Martha walks in and interrupts the Lord in this whole devotion series. And it's all because she wants the focus on her. She's the one busy. She's the one active. She's the one serving. Now, again, it's a wonderful thing to serve God. But we've got to be careful where we put the emphasis. We've got to be careful where we put the value and the importance. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about learning from Him. And so she dignified self. That's the complaining. It dishonored God. It disrupted the family. It discredited devotion. And it dignified self. And you'll find that come true over and over and over again. Then we see letter D, the counseling. The counseling. Martha had accused the Lord of not caring. That is a habit of humanity. But as in the case of Martha, it's always the accuser that does not care. It's not the one she's accusing, it's the accuser that does not care. Those that complain the most are really those that care the least. In this world, those that accuse God of not caring. You know, this whole thing in Stony Creek, where was God, where was God? Those that are saying that the most are the most with the least spiritual depth behind them. The ones that don't have any comprehension of God, any understanding. And so when this happens, they say, "Where is God? Why doesn't God care?" They don't have any spiritual insight into it. They're just like Martha. They're the ones that are questioning. Because the focus is on them. The focus is on the human side and not the Lord. So the Lord has to counsel. And notice, number one, the person. Martha's busy, cumbered about with much care, troubled about many things, serving. Mary stops what she's doing, sits down at the feet of the Lord, and Martha says, look at her, she's just sitting. She's doing nothing. She's not helping me. She's just sitting there listening. And so the Lord says, all right, I'll straighten it out. I'll take care of this. I'll have a little counseling session with you, Martha. Not Mary. See, Martha's pointing over here at Mary, saying, Lord, talk to her. Don't you see that she's left me alone to serve? Talk to her and straighten it out. And the Lord says, all right. Verse number 41, and Jesus answered. All right, he's going to fix the problem. He's going to straighten it out. He's going to talk to the root of the problem, but he's not going to talk to Mary. He's going to talk to Martha, the one that thinks she doesn't have the problem, the one that's busy pointing at the other one. And the Lord says to her, Martha, Martha. The person is Martha. She's the one that needs the counseling. She's the one that was too busy to listen to the Lord. She's the one that needed it the most. She was cumbered about with many things. Jesus had to counsel the one that least listened to him the least. Can I tell you, as a pastor, and I don't want to discourage anybody that ever comes to the pastor for advice or counseling, but the pastor spends most of his time counseling the people that come the least to church. I can just give you that as a statistic, and all pastors will tell you. You spend most of your time with those that come to church the least. You know why? They're the ones that have the problems. You say, oh, but no, and they think this, well, the other people don't have problems. Well, maybe they don't have problems because they're sitting at Jesus' feet. And it's not that we don't have problems, but we learn through the preaching of the Word, we learn through the reading of the Word, how to handle those problems. Nobody is exempt from troubles and trials and tribulations. But Martha's problem is Mary had a solution to her problems because she's being fed by the Lord. Martha is just busy about many things, and when the trials come, she's got nothing to do but complain. She's got nothing to do but talk because she doesn't listen to the Lord. And so now when the counsel time comes, it's not Mary that needs to talk to, it's Martha. Notice number two, the passion. The passion. In verse 41, Jesus said, Martha, Martha. There are several occasions in the Bible where Jesus repeats someone's name. You remember when he appeared to Samuel, when Samuel had been dedicated by his mother Hannah and brought to the temple, and he lived with Eli the high priest. And the Lord appeared to Samuel that night. He appeared to him and said, Samuel, Samuel. When Abraham was up on Mount Moriah and about to offer Isaac as his son, about to obey God and offering his own son, God came to him and said, Abraham, or Abram, Abram. When God appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul. That's his passion, the Lord's passion, his compassion. When Peter had made the bold claim that Jesus was the Son of God, and the Lord told him, Peter, the devil does desire you to sift you. And he says, Peter, Peter, the Lord's passion when he talks to them. And that's what he does with Martha. He's not mad at her. Again, she's not wicked and evil and ungodly. She's just got her priorities wrong. And the Lord speaks with love. And the Lord speaks with compassion. And the Lord reaches out to her and says, Martha, Martha. You can hear it in his voice. You can read it in the words that are there. The compassion and the passion that he reaches out with. Number three, in the counseling we find then the problem. The problem. The Bible says in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Up in verse number 40, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about. The word cumbered means wrapped up with, overcome by. A lot of you ladies especially, and I guess some of us men, get cumbered about at this time of year. All the preparations, family coming, or you're going somewhere for Christmas, the baking and the cooking and wrapping of presents and all that, and this time of year just kind of can overwhelm you sometimes. Well, Martha was like that year-round. She was cumbered about. She was all wrapped up with all of the responsibilities and duties and activities, the busyness of life. The Bible said she was cumbered about. She was careful. Now, the word careful is not as flippant as we use it today. Oh, be careful. The word back then meant full of care, full of anxiety, overloaded with care. And that's the way Martha was. She was so concerned about every detail and everything that her spiritual priorities got put on a back burner. Thou art troubled about many things. She was disturbed. Everything bothered her. Again, she's not wicked. She's not an adulteress. She's not an alcoholic. She's not any of those kind of things. She just got too much of the world in her. Too interested and too concentrated on the world. And Jesus said, thou art troubled about many things. Her priorities are wrong. She's just too worldly minded. Again, a disciple of the Lord, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Jesus in their home, he loved to go there to refresh himself. But Martha just had this problem. Then in the counseling number 4, we see the priority. Jesus in verse 42 gives Martha the priority. Again, he's counseling Martha, not Mary. And he says to Martha, one thing is needful, Martha. One thing is needful. That's the priority. The priority needs to be on spiritual things. Again, this world demands our time. It demands our attention. It demands our responsibilities. And we don't shirk those things. Martha was right in what she was doing, but she would not have been wrong to set everything aside long enough to sit at Jesus' feet. That would not have been ignoring her responsibilities. And Jesus said, there's one thing that's needful. And you know what I appreciate about the Lord? He's always the opposite of the world. The world would say, this thing is needless. That's what the world would say. Going to church, being so holy and pious and religious, reading your Bible every day, all those, you know, all that's needless. That's the way the world thinks. Jesus said, one thing is needful. This is the priority. This is what is important. And Mary had chosen the right thing. You know, I guess the older I get in life, the more I realize what is really needful. You know, when you get to the second half of life, and I guess I can say I'm there now, unless I live to be really, really old. You get to the second half, you realize some of the things you thought were so important when you were younger, now realize, you know, those things are going to be gone pretty soon. Those things are not very permanent. And the one thing is needful is knowing the Lord. The one thing that is needful is knowing His Word and being obedient to Him and being in fellowship with Him and knowing He's pleased with us. And Jesus said to Martha, He said, Martha, you're cumbered about, you're troubled, you're full of care. One thing is needful. That's the priority. Then number 5, the praise. The praise. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen. See, here's what it is. It's a difference in choices. A contrast in choices. Martha has chosen to serve. She's chosen to work and to labor. And it's not that Mary didn't choose that too. Mary was doing that with her before this occasion starts. Mary had chosen to serve also. But when the Lord came, Mary chose to set that aside to sit at His feet and listen. And so the Lord says to her, He said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha criticized Mary. Jesus complimented Mary. That's how opposite. It depends on your viewpoint. Depends on where you're sitting. Martha pointed the finger at Mary and said she did bad. Jesus pointed the finger at Mary and said she did good. She had chosen that good part which shall never be taken away from her. Small letter A, Mary's choice was excellent. Mary's choice was excellent. Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. When it comes between doing the right thing spiritually and doing something else that could be done, the spiritual ought to be the emphasis. Well, that challenges me. You know, we have time for the things that we want to do. And sometimes we know what the right thing to do is, to read our Bible, to have our devotions, whatever it is. And sometimes we get our priorities a little mixed up. Well, I'm too busy. You know, a lot of folks say they never read their Bible because they're just too busy to read it. You know what that is? That's Martha. Too busy. Mary had chosen that good part. And then small letter B, Mary's choice was eternal. Mary's choice was eternal. Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can I tell you, ladies, I hate to break the news to you, there's no reward in heaven for washing dishes. There's no reward in heaven for doing the laundry. Can I tell you, man, there's no reward in heaven for putting in 50 hours instead of 40 hours. There's no reward for working hard to provide for your family. Those are our duty. We're supposed to do those things. There's no reward for those things. But in eternity, the crowns that we're given to cast back at Jesus' feet are given not for our duties and busyness and our cumbering about. They're given for our devotion to the Lord. And Mary hath chosen that good part, the Bible says, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary's going to be rewarded by the Lord for eternity. We've got a story recorded in the Scripture that people have been reading for 2,000 years, contrasting Martha and Mary. Now, I know Martha's in heaven. I got no doubt about it. She's a disciple of the Lord. But I bet right now, if she could look down in heaven, she said, I wish I could have done it different that day so that story wouldn't have been written about me like that way. I wish I would have set everything aside and sat down with Mary at Jesus' feet so it would have said, Martha and Mary both did that good part which shall not be taken away. But Martha had her priority wrong. And we learned some wonderful lessons about Martha and Mary, two sisters in the same family, but different priorities. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we're thankful for how amazingly rich your word is. God, how full it is and how instructional it is. And Lord, we just miss out on it so much by not appreciating and understanding the value that's there. And so, Lord, help us to learn and to glean from these stories that are recorded in the Bible. Father, none of them are recorded without purpose and meaning. They're written, Father, the Bible says, for our admonition, for our learning, for examples to us. And Lord, help us to learn from this example of Martha and Mary that we would have our priorities right. God, help us not to shirk our responsibilities in this life. We know you wouldn't favor that. Yet, God, when it comes time to put first things first, the spiritual first, God, help us to have the desire to be pleasing in your sight that we might do those priorities right. Bless our time around your word this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've got about 13 minutes till we begin our morning service.